This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
The biggest star of Fox News is out. Bill O'Reilly's career there is done.
Yeah, the network forced him out just weeks after a New York Times report that documented multiple sexual harassment allegations against him.
KKL9's Tom Waite has details about the major shakeup that critics say was long overdue, Tom.
Yeah, they were saying that, and this is an epic change, Elsa and Susie. An attorney for one of O'Reilly's alleged victims tweeted, "We slayed the dragon." Meanwhile, tonight we have a new interview with one of O'Reilly's accusers who says Fox needed to make this move. Bill O'Reilly's now former Fox show opened tonight with his name stripped from the graphics and a brief statement from Dana Perino, one of the program's substitute hosts.
Before we get to the other big stories of the day, we want to address a situation many of you may already be aware of. Bill O'Reilly, who hosted this program for 20 years, is leaving the Fox News Channel. We know that you, his very loyal viewers, will have a lot of feelings about this, and we will talk more about it later on in the program.
A surreal change for a show O'Reilly built from the ground up.
In a memo to the staff today, Rupert James and Lachlan Murdoch, who run Fox News, described Bill this way. By rating standards, Bill O'Reilly is one of the most accomplished TV personalities in the history of cable news.
Before today's stunning announcement, trouble had been brewing for O'Reilly for weeks. Earlier this month, the New York Times reported that five women were paid a total of $13 million in hush money from O'Reilly and the company.
So let me
stop you right there.
Wendy Walsh, a former commentator on O'Reilly's show, came forward this month saying O'Reilly cut her loose when she refused his advances after a dinner meeting about her future on the show.
He came up beside me and said, "No, come back to my suite." And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." And very soon he became hostile and insulting. And he said the words, "You can forget all the career advice I've given you." I watched him grow cold and essentially wean me off his show over a period of months.
As the accusations piled up, advertisers fled O'Reilly's program and protests outside Fox's headquarters grew.
Fire Bill O'Reilly!
O'Reilly has been off the factor since April 11th on what he says was a planned vacation. He was photographed today meeting the Pope in Rome. He released this statement denying any wrongdoing. "It is tremendously disheartening that we part ways due to completely unfounded claims." Even President Trump weighed in on the controversy, telling the Times he didn't think Bill O'Reilly did anything wrong, praising him as a good person. Fox's parent company, 21st Century Fox, released their own statement. After a thorough and careful review of allegations against him, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Mr. O'Reilly will not return to the Fox News Channel. Whether O'Reilly's absence from Fox will change the direction of the conservative movement, we asked John Fleischman, a prominent conservative blogger from Orange County.
This is not an earth-shaking thing. Personalities on news programs change all the time. He just happens to have been there a long time. He's had a long period of time to build up a large group of followers, and he's not departing on his own terms. So all of that combines for a little bit of drama.
And you'll also remember last year Fox News Channel promised a zero-tolerance policy after Chairman Roger Ailes resigned over similar allegations.
Well, you know, I think this is something that people are going to be talking about for a long time. I mean, you have just taken off your leader of your whole franchise. And the young Murdochs, I know this is a tough decision. It didn't seem like Rupert Murdoch, the senior, was much for this. Very little due process had taken place. This is the court of public opinion. And the thing that's surprising to me is the Fox family. They talk about the Fox family. And they did not, I saw very little of them coming around O'Reilly to protect the franchise. They let him hang out there. And then when it was all said and done, it was like they're casting lots for his time spot. I don't know. What do you think about it? Let us know your thoughts. Hashtag BML Talk. Bill Martinez here with you. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, the conversation will continue. Stay with us, America.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com and drop me an email if you want. It comes to me direct. NSA approved, I might add. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, we don't do this very often, but I do want to open up the phone lines here. If you've got something you want to say about the O'Reilly situation, call it in. 877-317-6432. We're going to open up the lines right now. 877-317-6432. There's just something about this whole situation that bothers me. It goes back, I guess, to the foundation of what we've said many times on the show, and that is in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And there's lots of opinion out there. The court of public opinion has won out in this case. They have gone after, this is part of the deal about being number one. When you're number one, you're at the top, it can be very lonely, and you can be picked off very easily. And, considering the situation, I've been in and around the entertainment business most of my life, and I've seen these kind of things happen, and it always turns my stomach on many levels, because I see this as, first of all, the situation, of being, being accused. It's one thing to be accused. It's another thing to be convicted. All right. So along the way, what does O'Reilly and his team and Fox News do, which they've done in the past? And it's not just been O'Reilly and Ailes. I mean, this is the thing. There's been lots of indiscretion at Fox. But I think it's rather interesting that, conservatives seem to be the one that want to sacrifice themselves or get clobbered easier. Now, you're going to tell me this doesn't happen in the liberal facilities, but boy, they just go after Fox and the liberal agents. There's nothing happening. Maybe we'll find out that Wolf Blitzer did something terrible or something. It's unimaginable. But no, I'm just kidding. Of course, that's a joke, all right? But still, don't you find it interesting that on the liberal side, it's not? But yet, on the conservative side, boy, I tell you, there's not a lot of love around conservatives. I mean, do they rally around him? No, they take one giant step back, and then they're like vying for his position. I couldn't believe the way the announcements came down, Scott. Go ahead.
I think this is where you kind of see what the results are of the media bias. It's being proven that is there. Mm-hmm. If this is done by a liberal, the media isn't jumping on it. I'm sure if we go back, we can find tons of cases where something goes on, and I think the problem is that I think you get that step back because the Republicans know that the conservatives know that they don't control the media. They don't control the spin of, that the media is going to give. And I think this is where you see that. I think they step back out of, man, I don't want to be caught up in the spin of this. And, I mean, you see it all the time where if, say, you know, with Trump, when somebody came out in support of Trump, the media would spin it that they were a horrible person or that they, you know...
they would be disqualified.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Invalidated. See, that's that whole favorite thing that
Nunez.
The left likes to do. They want to... Yeah, right on down the line, exactly. If you stand up for anything other than what they say, then they're going to invalidate you. You know, let's just... you know, we got to attack the credibility of the witness, right? That's what they do.
Well, and they're allowed to do that. But if we do that, if we say... if O'Reilly would have came out and said, this is all, you know, this is a bunch of bull, and, you know, she's a liar, everybody, the spin would then become that he's blaming the victim, even though that there might not necessarily be a victim to blame.
I think O'Reilly, in retrospect, may look back and say he made a mistake by going on vacation, that he underestimated the support, the lack of support that he was going to have with Fox, that the two younger Murdochs were... You know, we're targeting him. And then, of course, on the heels of Ailes with what happened there, the payout there, and they paid out Ailes some $40 million. So, I mean, if Ailes was all that bad, why did they pay Ailes $40 million? And what? And they're going to pay O'Reilly probably that plus tax and license.
Part of that is, I think, comes down to they're worried more about, at this point, I think when the advertisers started to pull out, that's when they got a little bit worried.
Yeah, but the advertisers, all they did was they ducked and covered. This is what they do. They didn't get off of Fox. They said, okay, instead of O'Reilly, put us on Tucker Carlson. And they figured they would, kind of wait this thing out. And maybe hope upon hope that this thing, you know, they'd get on the other side, they'd be back on O'Reilly, because it's all about eyeballs. I mean, and look what happened with O'Reilly. Before he went on vacation, his ratings were actually elevating. They were on the rise. Now, I don't know if they were on the rise because people thought, okay, there's a train wreck coming, and I want to see what's happening here or what it was. But certainly, it's that old axiom about publicity. You know, good or bad, publicity is can always be good. Just to make sure you spell my name correctly.
There's another side of this maybe a little bit, too. We do have audio and stuff of O'Reilly not being the most easy-sounding guy to work with. And obviously having that drive can get you places, but sometimes that also rubs people the wrong way.
Well, so, what happens too, Scott, in all fairness, look, when it's your name and you're the guy and you are every waking hour as committed to your show and your efforts, you need the support staff to be with you. And I've heard some of those things, and yes, that stuff happens. Like I said, I've been around the entertainment business most of my life in radio and this sort of thing. And I've seen all kinds of antics. I've worked around all kinds of egos and all that. But when it's you, and this is the thing that's tough, when you're out there in front of the public, I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just saying this seems to be part of the, you know, part of the deal, part and parcel. And I've seen the people who have risen to the top, they protect that franchise and that position. And O'Reilly, at times, yes, there is evidence where he came across rather crudely and seriously, but to the point that people knew, as they say, when they went on O'Reilly, what did they say all the time? They always said, you better make sure you bring your A game.
And I'm completely understanding of that, and I do understand that. But the problem is that when everybody wants to knock somebody off of that pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when you get knocked off the pedestal, if you don't have the people that are around you all the time that come and back you up, that's where you run into things like O'Reilly, where they just want to, now they want his pedestal.
Yeah, no question.
That's what they're going for.
That's the thing. Did you find that interesting last night? I mean, the way they talked about, you know, hey, Eric Bolton is moving here, we're shifting the five, we got all this great stuff, and, you know, Beckel and, some of these comments in this, and I go, wow, I mean, the body is not even cold yet, and I don't know. I just I was really rather disappointed, and I think that whole idea of the Fox family, that curtain's going to be pulled back, and you know, it'll be interesting to hear the whole truth and nothing but. But hey, stay tuned. 15 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. We've got more to talk about. Hashtag BML Talk. Let us know your thoughts.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-5856. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-5856. That's 1-800-972-5856. 1-800-972-5856.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescription so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, everybody's talking. Just not sure if everybody's listening or enough people are listening. Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. Well, I'll tell you, this O'Reilly situation, most amazing as to what the Murdoch family have done. And it's the younger sons. It was their desire. I guess they see this as an opportunity to revamp you know, kind of rebirth Fox. But they have to keep in mind who was the originator, who birthed Fox. You got two guys, you know, Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. And when you take over, I mean, you got some big shoes to replace here. And I'm not hearing, you know, at this point, anything that's going to tell me that they've got it, you know, because one of the things that I always look at, and again, I say I've been in the entertainment industry, been around this in the radio business for a long time, is that you look at the what I call the law of capacity, and that is, are you capable of creating something like this? Now, I don't know the track record specifically. I've not heard a lot of great things about the younger Murdochs. You know, they've come in, you know, ridden off their father's coattails. But I don't know of a success track record of any kind of creativity that would give me confidence and give me any indication, not that I have to have the confidence. I mean, hey, look at, they're the ones that are, you know, turning the tables upside down here. Are they capable of redesigning a network that can pick up and rise out of the ashes here, so to speak? And ashes, I say that they allowed to happen. I mean, they sent O'Reilly on a vacation. I think it's a big mistake that he was gone. They did nothing, any kind of PR to protect their franchise. They just kind of let him die on the vine there, Scott.
Well, if it was actually a planned vacation, then O'Reilly didn't do himself any favors by leaving.
Right.
I guess the only thing that we really had to point to with their track record, because if we're giving the younger Murdochs the credit for this move, that means that I got to assume that they played the hand in Tucker Carlson. And I think Tucker's been great.
Well, there's no question. I agree with you that Tucker Carlson, but wow, I mean, how? It's like, okay, you're going into the number one franchise spot. You are now, I mean, hey, you've been a number two hitter, but we need you to play cleanup now. And you might even argue and say, okay, maybe number three. But he's certainly not of the capacity and certainly not of the brand of O'Reilly. And it's difficult. I mean, because O'Reilly's been there for 20 years. I mean, you know, for decades he's been on top. Okay. And I told you right off the bat when Carlson came on, Tucker Carlson, I was impressed. I was surprised. I was surprised at how well he's been doing. But, you know, that's one thing to follow O'Reilly. But another thing to say, now you've got to be the O'Reilly. You are the anchor. You are the guy of, you know, Fox. You are the future of Fox. And, well, you know, and I thought all along before the Megyn Kelly thing went south, I thought Megyn Kelly was the heir apparent, and that fell through. So something happened there that let that go by the wayside. Maybe Megyn Kelly felt that while O'Reilly was, I mean, all this stuff is just silly speculation at this point and almost just crazy talk. And I don't want to go there, but that's the nature, again, of not having the facts and not having due process. Is this thing's going to be chewed on, you know, for weeks to come? I don't think this is, a one-off kind of deal.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if somebody swoops in to try and grab O'Reilly, because he does have a fan base.
The guy could do what Beck did. He can go out there and do his own TV channel. I mean, the age of the look at when O'Reilly went into cable. Cable was like, what? I mean, remember what it was all about. I mean, I don't even think wrestling wanted to be involved with cable at that time as well. I mean, it was crazy. It was just all, you know, it was a burgeoning frontier. And here comes Fox, and they figure, okay, and Ailes got he had great inspiration, a great idea, and he matched up. I mean, this is kind of Belichick, Tom Brady kind of deal. And Tom Brady's going, I didn't do any sexual wrestling. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personalities here. You know, just that you've got a great complement between these two gentlemen that built this franchise. So why can't they reproduce it again? I mean, with the ton of money that O'Reilly's going to get, I mean, he could go out and do his own deal with his books and everything. Or he could just say, you know what, I've done my bidding. I don't need to do this. But this is, see, this is part of the deal that happens when you work with organizations and companies. You are, you know, you're subject to them, which isn't to say, look, I'm not turning my back on the allegations. Allegations are serious. Those need to be, they need to be dealt with. But this is a lesson, I think, for future anchors. And that is that when these allegations come up, you got to deal with them. You know, just paying people off anymore doesn't work, obviously, because unless you're a liberal, I guess, or, you know, you're in the power authority of the media, and, you know, the media doesn't, you know, can't come back 10 years down the road and go, oh, well, you know, hey, Scott Burdick, you know, yeah, we paid off all these women, you know, years ago. And you go, okay, you know, this is really petty. Because I got to tell you, I've been in a couple things, and not of sexual harassment nature, but I've been in a couple things involved in the industry where things are very petty, and you go, wait, that's not the way it came down. And you even have witnesses that say that's not the way it came down. But for the sake of expediency and to make it go away, companies have said, okay, we're just going to write this guy a check and call it a day because we don't want to get the attorneys all involved and exercised. I'm not talking about millions of dollars here, but still, you can see how those type of problems are solved and mitigated, and you know, hopefully they go away. In many cases they do, but anything that has to do with sex, oh my goodness, and that is the gift that just keeps on giving, isn't it?
Well, again, it really is, because it's the one time, it's really the one crime to where the person is considered to be guilty. The person is considered to be guilty until they can prove their innocence.
Yes,
and it's the one time to where, you know, the court of public opinion really dictates how things are played out. And if Riley comes out and says, you know, this is dumb.
Well, he's been saying that. Well, he's said it all along. I know. Ailes even is rejected this.
Well, and, you're gonna begin to see the, well, now he's blaming the victim, and that's the problem. That's not the way the system's set up.
But you got to defend yourself, and
100%.
You know what I'm saying? And if it's not necessarily you're blaming the victim, you're saying, hey, look, there's two people involved here. Okay, without witnesses, two people. Okay, she has her version. I have my version. And you know, and first of all, I mean, memo to O'Reilly, listen to what Vice President Pence said about who he went to dinner with. He only goes to dinner with his wife. Why do you think he only goes to dinner with his wife? To avoid some of these things. You know, I'd mentioned before, I think Lauren Kitchen Stewart and I, when we were talking about this back in the days of when I did some work with the Billy Graham crusade, man, it was just policy. You did not close the door. You did not cross counsel. You just didn't put yourself any appearance of impropriety whatsoever. You avoided it at all costs. And so here it is. O'Reilly, you know, again, people get casual about it and they think, oh, it's okay. It's only dinner. It's no big deal. But you don't know. You don't know what kind of accusations can fly out of meetings and, you know, what you subject yourself to, especially when you're in a position like Bill O'Reilly was in. So, I think there's so much more to the story. There's lots of conjecture, and I know the attorney, and you know, for these women, is emphatic about it. Well, she should be. That's what she gets paid to do, and she's making a lot of money off of this whole deal. And she's all part of the story here. And but there's lots of takeaways, I believe, for liberals and conservatives, but particularly for conservatives here and what happened. And I think there's a lot more to this story with Fox, and I don't think Fox comes away very cleanly after all is said and done. Doug Giles is going to be coming up a little bit later on, and Doug, never lacking for an opinion, I know will have some great insight as well. So I'm looking forward to Doug coming on and talking about O'Reilly now out at Fox. I'm Bill Martinez, 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just 119. Bamboo from 139. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
Turn it up. CIA and FBI, speaking of what, are pursuing the leaker, like they haven't already, but evidently it is intensifying. This is the latest report. Also, we're told that 89% of media reporting negative toward Trump. Are you surprised? You look so shocked. No. you know, you gotta have an antagonist, you know, this is all part of it. I mean, it is a heyday for the media. As much as they complain about Donald Trump, they love it. Especially for those on the left. I mean, this is absolute cannon fodder. If Hillary was there, then they'd only have members of Congress to complain because they'd be, you know, chasing after Hillary and talking about, other things like, this Iran, nuclear deal. Which Joel Gerke is going to be on with us in just a moment. He's a foreign affairs reporter for the Washington Examiner, and he wrote in his column yesterday that leader Ryan was put on notice that the Trump team might, I say team, you know, administration, might scrap Iran deal over terrorism because what happened with Secretary of State Tillerson. You know, he said they basically they're in compliance with the deal, but it's a bad deal. And oh yeah, by the way, it wasn't something that was established by Congress. You know, they didn't, they didn't ratify this thing. This was something that, that John Kerry and Barack Obama did solito lindo all by themselves. And what they do, you know, can be taken away with a new president, you know, and with that, you would think that Iran would have done everything they could if see if they could get involved in the elections to make sure Hillary Clinton got elected, because I would say that if Hillary was in place, there'd probably not be a whole lot to talk about. Well, we have with us right now the one, the only, Joel Gerke, foreign affairs reporter for the Washington Examiner. Joel, how you doing? Can you hear me, Joel? Hello?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay, there you are. Okay. I was just laying out the foundation that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson certified, in fact, according to your column yesterday, that Iran is in compliance with a nuclear deal negotiated by former President Barack Obama's team. In a letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan that was released Tuesday night, but he hastened to add that Iran's role as a leading state sponsor of terror through many platforms and methods has the Trump team debating whether to stick with the agreement, right?
That's right. In that letter, he basically said, you know, what you just said, but he added they were launching a review to consider reimposing the sanctions that were lifted under the nuclear agreement. As you might recall, the Congress passed economic sanctions on Iran, but they included a national security waiver, meaning the president could waive the sanctions if he thought it was in the national security interest of the United States. And that's what the president did, President Obama did, you know, under this deal in exchange for the various concessions that Iran made. He waived the sanctions, and so what Tillerson's letter said was that they were considering just putting those back in place.
Well, Joel, it seems that all the things that the U.S. did, you know, cash money, dark of night, unmarked bills, all that kind of stuff, opening to a path to nuclear weaponization, which, of course, everything that the Democrats would want us to believe, John Kerry and President Obama, was that this, in fact, was going to keep them from it. But it was like this is a non sequitur. I could not connect those dots, because when it seemed rather obvious from all the other experts that all we were doing was delaying the inevitable. And now here today, in light of what we're dealing with North Korea, it's like, are we creating North Korea all over again?
Yeah, and I think the case for the deal that you know, someone on the Obama team or even just one of the professionals who's working on it would make is that the deal was supposed to buy time. Nobody in favor of the deal thought that it was a silver bullet. But you know, if you think that Iran was close to getting a nuclear weapon in the last couple of years, this delayed that so that we didn't have to choose between allowing it to happen or having an airstrike. But then what happened as time unfolded, what we also saw happen is that Iran's other destabilizing activity escalated. And so a lot of the people who opposed the deal in the first place saw it as sort of emboldening them on all those fronts. Mm-hmm. And, what we have now, what seems to be happening with the Trump administration, with Tillerson and with Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who was in Saudi Arabia yesterday, you know, it seems like that letter to Speaker that Tillerson wrote to Speaker Ryan was connected somehow, or just happened to coincide with Mattis being in Saudi Arabia and talking to them about, as he put it, how to checkmate Iran, how to get more aggressive in terms of countering Iran's destabilizing activities. And it, you know, yesterday was one of those days where it feels like a big policy shift in the making.
Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be a big policy shift, but based on new information, I mean, and it seems that very few people, Joel, really had the confidence that Iran was going to stick to the deal. I mean, even Marco Rubio last night was saying that he sees indicators where they're, you know, maybe not necessary. I mean, this thing that drives me nuts about politicians, because, you know, to me, they're either complying or they're not complying. And once you go over the line of compliance, that to me is non-compliance. But politicians want to say, well, that's not quite as bad. I mean, they are. I mean, there's indications that they're violating things here with, you know, for example, heavy water, some other development that they're doing, that they're moving along the edges to where when the gates open up, boy, they can hit the ground running. Well, if they're cheating, they're cheating, aren't they?
Oh, so on the heavy water thing, what happened is they did stockpile more heavy water than they were supposed to, and then they got rid of it. Actually, but then they notified the powers to be that they had stockpiled it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, as it happens, they sold it to the United States, which some Republicans, you know, really did worry would create an incentive for more activity like this. But you know, yeah, it's certainly true that the Iranians aren't going out of their way to go above and beyond the call of duty on the terms of compliance with this deal. What will be really interesting to watch, you know, Mattis was in Saudi Arabia, and he was talking like he said that they'd had highly productive talks in terms of outcomes. Talked about how now that we've got the approval of our leadership, we need to do something with it. He was talking like an aggressive guy. And then Tillerson, in addition to that letter, you mentioned North Korea, Tillerson walked out of the State Department yesterday afternoon and said, you know, just like in North Korea, the quote was, strategic patience is a failed approach.
Exactly.
And he said that we're not going to pass the buck to a future administration. And so what will that mean exactly? It's hard to say for sure. I think it probably starts in Yemen, where there's, you know, part of the destabilizing activity that Iran is doing is supporting a militia group fighting a war in Yemen against the Saudi-aligned government. You know, Tillerson said they're trying to have a militia group there that will back them, just like in Lebanon, where they have Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization that controls a lot of the country and threatens Israel. And so it really looks like Mattis feels like he walked out of a meeting with the Saudis, you know, and has and they have a plan to start getting more aggressive about countering Iran's mischief, as he put it. Mm-hmm. So when you combine that with this letter where they might reimpose sanctions, that's sort of the concert of moves that looks like a policy shift in the making.
I see where you're going with that. But also, let's keep an eye on the possibility of Ahmadinejad getting back into play here too, right?
Yeah, Iran's elections are always pretty tough. This is the weird thing about Iran's elections. They happen every year, and or every so often, and they matter. They are in some ways expressions of the will of the people. But the slate of candidates is approved by the mullahs, and they really control everything. But it would be interesting to see if it played out that way, because Iran's population really is, you know, by all accounts, far more pro-American than a lot of other populations. Saudi Arabia, for instance. In Saudi Arabia, the leadership works very well with the United States.
Well, Joel, we got to leave it right there. We're out of time. Appreciate you checking in with us. Foreign Affairs reporter for the Washington Examiner, Joel Gerke. I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Joel.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
This message is brought to you by GSK. Vaccine-preventable diseases such as meningococcal disease or meningitis are continuing to impact our communities, including young adults, who are at a higher risk for meningitis due to close contact with each other. This includes sharing drinks, kissing, and living in close quarters. Jamie Shanbaum, U.S. Paralympian, meningitis survivor, and GSK spokesperson.
I was in my first semester at my dream college when I got sick. What I first thought was the flu turned out to be meningitis. I was in the hospital for 7 months, lost all 10 of my fingers, and had both legs amputated below the knee. I didn't know that meningitis could lead to that.
Although uncommon, meningitis can be fatal or cause disability, sometimes within 24 hours. 1 in 10 of those who contract it will die, and 1 in 5 will suffer lifelong impact. Take 5 minutes to talk to your doctor and ask about the 2 types of vaccines that together help protect against the 5 vaccine-preventable groups of meningitis. Learn more at meningitis.com.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just 119. Bamboo from 139. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus, special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along for the ride. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email. Let us know your thoughts. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, this month marks a year since the death of Prince. It's also the release of the farewell tribute to the iconic funk rock star. Dig, if you will, the picture. Best-selling author and longtime journalist Ben Greenman is behind a new book. It's a tribute and also a love letter, he says, a critical study and a personal essay. But maybe it makes more sense to start with what it isn't. And let's bring Ben Greenman on right now. Ben, good to have you with us on the show to talk about your new book, Dig, If You Will, the Picture, Funk, Sex, God, and Genius in the Music of Prince. You say that there, you know, this really is a different approach. It's not the traditional biography of a rock star, is it?
No, I had written about Prince as a straightforward critic for years for newspapers and magazines. And when he died, I knew that there was a book in him, obviously. There's many books in him. But I thought if I did it, I would want to do a book that built in my experience with him, from being a kid buying his records to right up to the moment that I experienced his death, like a lot of people, you know, hearing the shocking news a year ago, April. So the question was how to do a book that combined those, and the answer was to bring in elements of biography, though there are books that are more straightforward, comprehensive biographies, critical study, though I looked at only a set of topics, and then, as you say, a memoir, my interaction with him as a fan, as a record buyer, as a concert goer, met him once, but that kind of book that drew together those elements.
Mm-hmm. How did that meeting go when you met him?
I was working for a magazine. This was in the late 90s, and we had an award show for online music, and Prince had won an award that year. We wrote him. We asked him if he would come. He said yes, very surprising. We asked him if he would do a chat backstage before the show. He said yes, very surprising also. And I ran it, and I met him. And he was great. He was actually pretty normal and pretty low-key, and he had a woman typing his answers for him. Mm-hmm. I did not think he was a strange person. I thought he was a mysterious person, mm-hmm. and I thought he kicked up a lot of dust around him and created a lot of personas and created a lot of flamboyant image to face the world so he could protect himself. But he did not seem bizarre to me, and it was great. He was very friendly and very professional, and we did the chat, and then he left and came back to the awards that night and gave a great speech warning people that the internet was going to destroy them.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you know, the term genius is used often, some say overused, but, well, you consider the breadth of this man's work. It's synonymous with genius, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Prince is he, part of his genius was that he didn't have to be a genius all the time. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, I won't say bad work, because I think it all has its merits. But there were songs that were not as immediately appealing as his hits. He explored a lot. He experimented a lot. There are ballads that are not that good in my mind or not that effective. There are rhythmic experiments that he didn't release or he released a part of. So part of his genius was his bravery and his devotion to exploring all the aspects of his ideas through music. Mm-hmm. Now, he had the tools and the skill set to do it because he played so many instruments and, you know, he'd sing and dance and he wrote his own songs. So he didn't really need other people. It's not like he had to call you and say, hey, I have this idea for a guitar solo. And you would say to him, well, I won't be in town until next week. He could just do it. Mm-hmm. And that gave him a lot of speed. It gave him a lot of velocity between the idea and the product. But, yeah, I mean, the genius was there in the sense that he just kept making things, and a number of them were fantastic.
Well, Ben, in observing him and writing about him, you noticed that there was this thematic preoccupation of his. Explain that to our audience, if you would.
I think if you went out and you asked people on the street what was Prince all about, a lot of people would say that he was about sex, because the biggest hits are often sort of libido manuals, Little Red Corvette, that, you know, that's the archetypal one that a lot of people came on, or the Purple Rain, Darling Nikki, those things, sex or energy. But all those things happened in tension with faith and with God and spirituality. And then as Prince went, he explored a lot of these dualities, good and evil, black and white, male and female, masculine and feminine, straight and gay, an isolated creator versus a sort of networked band leader. So I think the main idea was, how can one person be two things and two opposite things? Mm-hmm. The answer is all of us are.
Right.
But he really pursued that in a very programmatic way over his career by creating female personas that he released music under, even in his own voice, or he wrote for other artists. In the Batman soundtrack, he painted his face down the middle, and one side was one color, and one side was the other color, and that character, he called it Gemini, twins,
right.
That character was about the divided personality. And I think that was the struggle always.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it may have been strategic to keep creative tension going, but it was always there, too. Am I a good person or an evil person? Am I a lustful person or a spiritual person? How can I be both?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you say, in a lot of ways, a lot like all of us, you know, dealing with, you know, some people could say multiple personalities, and others would say, you know, by the same token, I mean, he is this mysterious individual that in a lot of ways was very, very much a loner, too. Right. And then you question, was he able to do this all by himself, or was there some sort of secret cabal or group or something that he got together with?
He always had musicians, and often he had, you know, famous bands. The Revolution with, you know, Wendy and Lisa were kind of a creative foil for him for a time, and other musicians played with him over the years. Sheila E. was an important drummer with him for years, and there's, you know, keyboard players and guitarists and bass players who worked with him. He could create at least a demo himself. I think there was probably much more interaction with other musicians than he let on, because he did like to court this idea of himself as a solo creator, and that was his brand. That was the idea of Prince. Put him in a studio, come out 20 minutes later, there's a finished song. But yes, I think there's a part of him that was fundamentally lonely. I don't know about a loner. I think there were people around all the time, but felt misunderstood, felt a little separate from himself even. And there's a lot of songs about loneliness. If you go by, you know, it's an artistic trait because the person who's an artist often has to pull back from something and observe it even as they're in it. So they can't really participate. You know, they can't be the life of the party in the traditional sense because they have to also be watching the party. And I think that's something that, you know, Prince was very observant and very careful and watchful. So I think there was fundamentally some dimension of loneliness, definitely.
Well, and sadly, he was found alone in the elevator the day he passed away on April the 21st. And I don't know why that stays with me the way it does. You know, somebody who had people around him. But and you have this sense, and this sometimes is what happens with geniuses, is they need to be alone. I mean, you did a story on Brian Wilson. I met Brian Wilson probably almost immediately after he got out of his room, and he was still trying to find himself then. So you've been around genius most of your life.
Yeah, and Brian is an interesting comparison because Brian is someone, I've worked with him on his memoir, which came out last year. And Brian is someone who struggled with mental illness most of his life, and it's connected to his genius. And he's now, as an older man, forthright about it. And he has a good support network and a, you know, a supportive wife and the right medication and the right doctor, and he's able to get it under control. But Brian also had, from pretty early on, a lot of obstacles to contend with where it was clear that there was a problem. Prince was highly functional in every way. So if he was doing what you're saying, which Brian did too, self-medicating, needing isolation, not being able to control the difference, you know, to control the rate at which he was able to interact with other people, somebody like Prince might not have seemed like a candidate for help in this, in quite the same way. Here's a totally functional, competent, brilliant person who's doing everything. He's showing, look at how many concerts he's showing up to a year. He doesn't have a problem. And I think as the final phase happened, all of us watched that with what was curiosity when it seemed like it was a bad flu. His plane came down in Chicago. Later we learned that he was administered a save shot for, you know, opioid overdose. And it was a shock. It was a shock to see that, maybe for very good reason, that dependency happened. Maybe it was pain from years of jumping off pianos. But to see that creep up on someone who seemed so in control. You know, his hallmark was that he was in control of everything around him, and here he wasn't in control, and it killed him.
Oh. Well, Ben Greenman, dig, if you will, the picture. Well, I'll tell you, I love the style. I love the way you approach this. For the people that read this book, our final question here as we wrap things up here, Ben, what would you want them to most take away from your book?
I guess I'd want them to see what they like and don't like about my ideas and my sense of Prince, sort of go through like a pinball through a pinball machine, but then in the end come out into his work again. Go back and find the album they loved and listen to it again with their kids or with a new girlfriend. Go back and find the album they hated and see if they can find something new in it. Really, I've done a lot of books that are about me, my novel, my this. The collaborations are about those people. And this book is even more so about the person who it's about. It's in the service of his work. I want people to pass through it like they're walking through, you know, like a little grove, and they get to the end, and there's his work, and they've been re-prepared for it, and they can go back into it with a new sense of spirit and a sense of renewal.
Well, Ben Greenman, great job. Appreciate it. Dig, if you will, the picture meets Prince at his own level as a pop culture provocateur, brilliant manufacturer of meaning, and a complex man who was at once a brooding introvert and a good time. Ben, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and six other products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Sick and tired of